National Furniture Store.
208 10 KTAR 620 Sports on the calendar tonight. CCL Video.
First, we report the news. Then we talk about it. Join the Pat Murphy Show. Call 277-5827. That's 277-KTAR. And now here's your host, KTAR's Pat Murphy.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the second hour of our two-hour session on this Tuesday, July the 27th, 1993. This is the Pat Murphy Show, and we have a very special and interesting and provocative hour coming up, and we hope you'll stick around. Our guest will be Tom Metzger, who has been described by various publications as sort of the granddaddy of all hate TV program hosts in this country. He's in California, one of about 57 so-called hate TV hosts in the country. And we'll be talking to him in just a moment. Before we get to our guest, Tom Metzger, let me just give you something of a little semi-news item here apropos of the press and the media, one thing or another. It was announced today that Cox Arizona Publications, which publishes the Mesa Tribune and the Tribune newspapers, has bought the Scottsdale Progress. An interesting development locally here in the media. This is going to give the Mesa Tribune, the Tribune newspapers, a huge new media operation for the East Valley, certainly, and in any other geographical areas that the Tribune decides to operate and function and distribute. So stick around for 3 o'clock. There's going to be some news on that. Steve Clausen will have that on the 3 o'clock news. And, of course, I think Pat McMahon is probably trying to arrange a program tomorrow with some guests who will explain this in greater detail. And with this, let's join Tom Metzger from California. Mr. Metzger, thank you very much for joining us.
How do you do?
How are you, sir?
Just fine. I don't take time to defend myself against all the names and titles that they throw at me. I'd be too busy doing that all the time. No, I don't care.
Let me set you up this way. During the last hour, we had an editor of a local newspaper here who pulled a prank on the state attorney general. And I'm a former print person of about 40 years in the business. And my position is that the First Amendment is an absolute authority when it comes to what the media generally can do. And even though I may despise what I see in other media, I respect the right of that media to do it. Have there been attempts to silence you in a way that would be contra to what the First Amendment stands for?
Many times, and thus far they've all failed. It's been tried in the courts, and of course I was sued and found liable for in a wrongful death suit in Portland, Oregon, which is under appeal, and that case we will eventually win and have it overturned. I have had people who have tried to get me off of cable access, public access TV, pressure groups all over the country. I have been thrown in jail for attending meetings on private property. They have drugged me before grand juries three or four times, and So, it's been an ongoing thing about trying to intimidate me to quit speaking.
There's the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith is not one of your admirers, as you well know, and they are constantly putting out special editions warning people of your hateful background, as they say, and your hate-mongering and one thing or another. Are you genuinely convinced of the positions you espouse, or is there a little bit of showbiz involved in that?
Well, we've been producing television now since 1984, probably over 150 television shows. We're seen in 15 states and about 55 markets, and I haven't even added up how many cities. I think I'm quite serious about it. It's surely not a game, or I'm not phony about it. I wouldn't go through all of this if it was just showbiz, believe me.
The Defamation League is not necessarily accusing you, although that may be a proper word, but they certainly are equating you with the rise of the violent skinhead activities. Certainly on the West Coast. Are you part of the skinhead movement in any way?
I have known skinheads for several years. I was one of the first to, in a broad sense, befriend them as young people who were angry and had their own kind of music they liked to play and so forth. I'm not a leader of the skinheads, never have been. Some skinheads like Tom Metzger and some don't. The same as my son, who did operate the white student union groups, and now he works directly with me in war. So the skinhead phenomenon is something that's it's not organized, and I don't believe it can be organized, but it is disenchanted young white, usually working class youth that have become angry with the trend of the country.
Let me ask you this. What do you hope to accomplish with your messianic kind of messages, your ones that are tinged with a lot of what others might consider prejudice and bias and hate?
Well, we believe discrimination is the mark of a free person. We believe that only a slave does not have the privilege or the right to discriminate. So we do not resent discrimination. We believe people should be free in a free nation as non-slaves to discriminate against whoever they want to for whatever reason. And we do believe in racial separation. We believe that racial separation is a far better idea than forced integration. So we use, I use whatever evidence and verbology that I can use to promote that eventual goal.
Okay, there were some skinheads arrested in Los Angeles a week or so ago, whenever it was, and there are allegations that these skinheads were out to commit all kinds of mayhem, murder, and maiming, if you will, of blacks and other public figures. Do you denounce those alleged plans, or do you admire them, or what?
I denounce them because our evidence shows that they're more of the product of the mind of the federal agents and the federal informers involved than they were of the 3 to 4 young teenagers that got caught up into it. In fact, we had spent months exposing the main informant as an informant, and had sent out the alarm for months all through L.A. to stay away from this guy because he was going to try to set people up. And I think I was successful because out of this year and a half investigation and sting operation, they only managed to net 2 or 3 people. There were a couple of other people in the Los Angeles area that were arrested, but those were on entirely separate charges of weapons charges.
Okay, what about the Oregon case in which skinheads are alleged to have been, or you, or somebody has incited some skinheads to murder an Ethiopian immigrant?
Right. That's right. That was a case in which I was attacked by the nation's most well-heeled, powerful groups, the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center, who have tens of millions of dollars behind them. My property was tied up to where I had no money to get an attorney, and my son and I had to plead the case ourselves, and we're not attorneys. We were held to a strict rules of lawyerdom, to where everything had to be objected to at the right time. We were not allowed to introduce the fact that the main witness, the only witness, was a liar and a perjurer and was paid by the people he was working for to testify against us. And this is all now coming out in the appeal process, and we will ultimately win the appeal. I did not do it. I did not promote it.
What are you trying to promote?
Well, I'm trying to promote the idea that, number one, the white Euro-American people, or in the world, actually, white people are only about 10% of the world's population. We are the true minority. In North America, we had what I believed was to be was quite an example of what I call European American white people, what we've built here. We're losing it. We've allowed 20 million Mexicans to come into this country. We've got tremendous numbers of Asians and people from all over the world that surely want to have what we've got, but unfortunately they're going to destroy the very civilization and culture that they're wanting to benefit by.
Let me ask you this. You were dealing in percentages. Let me ask you this, Mr. Metzger. If, for example, a national referendum could be held to establish precisely how the American public feels about civil rights, affirmative action, the various minority groups or majority groups in this country, and you were to be found to be on the outside of public opinion, would you move out of this country?
No, I wouldn't, because the majority has never controlled anything in this country or any other country, because the majority in most cases is too lazy to do the legwork, the study, and the research that needs to be made to make an accurate judgment. That's why voting is so poor, because the people who vote really don't put the time and effort in to discover, to look over the issues and really understand them. So that type of mobocracy does not work. I think that the minority, the small percentage of people that really research and care on whatever side they're on, are looking out into the future with an idea of what is happening to this country and what may need to be done to straighten it out. I don't think the average person worries about that until they've lost their job or they've run out of beer.
Okay, Mr. Metzger, when we come back, as you know, you being in television, we have to take time out for commercial messages and other little pieces of business. So we're going to take a pause here for about 3 minutes so you have some time to stretch your legs. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about some of the people that you admire, contemporary people in the public place, such as in politics or business or whatever, as well as give you some names of people and get your reaction. So this is the Pat Murphy Show on KTA. Many, many people. So here's your chance to either call, admire, and denounce, or to ask questions or whatever. 277-5827, 277-KTAR. Our toll-free number is outside of the metropolitan area, 1-800-564-5827. Or 1-800-564-KTAR. Okay, we're back to the Pat Murphy Show here on KTAR, 620 AM News Talk Radio. And we're being joined by Tom Metzger from California, who has been very active in the skinhead movement as well as the white Aryan resistance. What is the current organization, Mr. Metzger, that you claim to be the head of, or one that we can identify you with?
Well, actually, it's a free will association type, and it's called WAR, White Aryan Resistance. We publish a newspaper that comes out every month, and of course we do our television show and operate voice mail centers around the country, and in general furnish information for people who are interested in what we're talking about.
Where is your show, your television show?
Oh, gee, I don't have the list right in front of me. Well, it's 15 states. We're all the way up in Alaska, and we usually are going on to about one new state every month. So
syndicated on tape, or is it live?
Yeah, it's syndicated on tape, and associates of ours all over the United States put it on the television.
Oh, yes.
That's we've had, so many it's hard to remember, and on so many different issues, and a lot of people would say, well, you wouldn't have minorities on the show. Well, we have had so-called minorities. We've had blacks and other people who have problems that they want to talk about, too. So it's sort of a show, though, based on the best interest of white working-class Americans and people who are proud that they're white and are upset about a lot of the policies in this country.
Let me go through some word associations here. Who are some of the most admired people, or some of the people you admire the most in public life today, in business or politics or whatever?
Well, I don't really have a list of people like that. Of course, most people are the types that you may agree with some of what they say, but the rest of it you may not. So, I mean, you know, one of my heroes traditionally has been a man by the name of Jack London, which he wrote 55 books. He was very much a racial separatist and wrote about race. He was also an ecologist and an environmentalist. People like that. I don't know. There's probably a long list that I could pin right down, but I just don't sit around thinking about it.
Well, let me ask you this, continuing on the word association.
Yes.
David Duke. What do you think of David Duke?
Backs off, goes backwards, backs down on the issues, tries to play traditional politics, and it backfires on him.
You know, he's got a new talk show down in Louisiana.
Well, that's fine, but he represents a conservative point of view, and I don't. I present the radical point of view. I do not take the conservative or the liberal view.
How about black Americans in general? Now, I know there may be some exceptions, but just black Americans, how do you feel about black Americans?
Well, as a race of people, we have mixed feelings. In other words, we believe that slavery was an evil institution. If I would have been around at the time, I would have fought against slavery, and I would have fought bringing any black people here as slaves. I think slavery is a very nasty and bad institution. I do believe that, like Lincoln and Jefferson and many of the other leaders of this country, that the black race and the white race will never assimilate. It's not going to work by trying to force that assimilation, by forced integration. In other words, mixing. In other words, the two races mixing socially and sexually and so forth.
What do you think about, let's see, the armed forces? forces of the United States being commanded by a black four-star general, Colin Powell.
I'm less worried about that than I am about the tremendous race mixing in the military and the tremendous amount of miscegenation between the races in the military. I think it is far more dangerous than any national interest of defense that we have.
Now, when you say mixing in the military, are you talking about like eating together, sleeping together?
I'm talking about the eventual union of a male and a female and having a non-white child. I think that are these military bases, these young, impressionable white kids are going overseas, they're bringing back tens of thousands of Asian women and so forth like that, and I think that's a disaster, and I think that's far more going to have far more impact on this nation than any so-called threat from any armed force outside the country.
Okay, Tom Metzger is visiting with us by telephone from California, and Tom, I hope you can stay with us, and we've got about a 6-minute cutaway here to take care of a little business, so stretch your legs if you will.
Fine.
And when we come back, we have a lot of other questions, some word association, and this is your time to talk to Tom Metzger, who, as I said, has been identified and called by many, many organizations as the granddaddy of the preeminent hate TV talk show host in the United States, in addition to being a so-called hate activist. So if you'd like to call us here at KTAR 620 News Talk Radio, 277-5827.
On KTAR 620 AM.
Thank you, and welcome back to the Pat Murphy Show here. And in the waning moments of this final hour of our show, this Tuesday, July 27th, 1993, while it's about 107 degrees outside, we're talking with Tom Metzger, who is in California and is the founder and head of the White Aryan Resistance, among other activist organizations. We have some telephone calls. Let's go to those calls right now. Robert, thank you very much for hanging around. You're on KTAR, and welcome. Talking to Tom Metzger.
Thank you very much. Mr. Metzger, I understand your racial views, which are expressed or associated with the White Aryan movement, also equally applied to those of the Jewish faith. Could you tell us something about your early beginnings, your parentage, and family, and so forth, that might give some explanation as to how your extreme views have come about?
Well, actually, I was raised in a little small town in northern Indiana that virtually was all white, pretty much so. And my parents were factory workers, and there was very little talk about race in the family because it was really not an issue in an area which was mostly white. So. But it was plain that they didn't believe in interracial marriage, but that's about as far as it went. My family's on both sides, well, come from Germany and Britain and so forth like that. So there's no pattern that a psychologist could pick up that could lead them to believe it started way back then, other than the fact I have a great admiration for the kind of culture and civilization that I was raised in. And I saw how well it worked because it had a great balance of agriculture and recreation and light industry and almost totally white schools, and everything was really nice. This was back in the 50s, and I think people today have lost what we had back then.
Okay, Robert, well, thank you very much. And let's go to Don right now. Don, thank you for holding on, and welcome to KTAR.
Yes, excuse me. My voice went there for a minute. Yes, I'd like to find out why this gentleman thinks that just like a GI marries a Vietnamese or Korean or whatever is so wrong. Like at the end of the Second World War, a lot of men in the army came back with wives from Germany and France and everywhere. But, you know, there's nothing said about that. But because they're Asian or something like that, it's so bad.
Well, that's true because I'm a racist in the sense that I believe that white European people should ideally marry within each other and have beautiful white kids. I believe that the marriage of one race to another is really a disaster when the offspring are technically not accepted by either race.
Well, I don't agree with that because a friend of mine, I was back east. His wife was black, and we were the best of friends. And then I had a neighbor who lived out here. She was a white woman. Her husband was black. And they had some of the best-minded kids where I lived at compared to some of the white children I seen there who were first-class, well, rednecks or racist or
well,
what.
That's possible. That is possible. I wouldn't deny that. However, when you're dealing with genetics and so forth, you're talking about beyond the second generation or first generation. What happens in the second generation? Many times the disasters of interracial marriage really don't show up until a little farther down the line. Even in the animal world, you'll find that sometimes first generation hybrids do quite well, but from there on down, it tends to be downhill, as any person in agriculture could tell you.
Well, I can't agree with that because, you know, I've read books in the Second World War and stuff like that, and I read a series of books one time, and to me, your opinion, it sounds almost like this set of books I read one time called Doctors of Mercy, where the Nazis experimented on every race, creed, everything, just to get their so-called pure white race.
Well, they adopted most of their programs for the United States. The United States was a world leader in eugenics education. Margaret Sanger, the head of the population control group, was very much a racist. She built most of her birth control centers in black communities and wanted to control the black population. If you look back in the early eugenics experimentation and so forth, it happened in this country and was exported around the world.
Okay, well, Don, we're going to move along. Thank you very much for your call. We have some other calls coming in. Let me ask you this, Mr. Metzger. You're talking about intermarriage. Now, are you talking about, if you find it wrong, for example, for a so-called Anglo to marry a Hispanic?
Well, it depends on whether Hispanic is a white Hispanic or a non-white Hispanic.
So,
well, not necessarily, but I mean it goes deeper than that. Not only skin color, but facial structure to eye coloring, and also.
So you're interested in breeding a super race?
I don't think that anybody's going to breed necessarily a super race, but I do believe that to carry on a European-style civilization, it would probably work better if you had people of European stock to do it. I don't believe that, say, an Indian population, mestizo, would be best fitted to carry on Western civilization.
What is this race? These are my words now. This super race of pure white European stock. Well, are they going to run the world?
Well, you're saying super race. I'm not. I'm saying that.
That's my word. But what happened to this super stock of people? Are they going to rule the world? And what happens to the rest of the people?
Well, I find that, you know, the father used to teach me as a kid on the farm that good fences build good neighbors, and I believe that as far as nations and race. And I believe that races got along much better many times in the world history when they were separated but still had trade.
How did you conduct world affairs with your theory, for example, and have a United Nations? How can American businessmen do business without mixing with other...
It's very simple. It's very simple. You have homogenous states such as the Japanese, and they are probably some of the greatest, if not the greatest, businessmen in the world today. But they do not promote interracial marriage. It's really taboo in Japan. And Japan is doing better economically than almost any country in the world, and they are a perfect example of a homogeneous state. No, I don't, and I don't believe Japanese do either. I meet with Japanese, and I meet with black people all the time, and I can respect people, but that doesn't mean that we should mingle our blood.
I respectfully disagree with you about the Japanese and intermarriage. There are a lot of Japanese, Irish, Japanese, Spanish, you name it, but in any event, let me ask you...
What about it? I didn't quite get your point. I mean, I'm not saying that Japanese are bad people or ignorant people or anything like that. I think the Japanese people are fine people, but I don't want them to run America, and I don't want them to for the white race to turn yellow.
Well, but let me ask you this.
I don't understand what...
You're very concerned about this second generation of these mutations that are going to occur with blacks and whites. What about intermarriage in families among cousins and whatnot, where you have all kinds of mutations, dangerous mutations, and genetic aberrations occur?
Well, science has found that it's not nearly as important as they used to think. I think that the brothers and sisters obviously got a problem, but they have found that first cousins and so forth are generally not a problem. I think too much inbreeding between very closely related people for long periods of time is dangerous to the race.
Okay, before we take time out for a few more messages here and a few more pieces of housekeeping. Let me ask you through word association again, Mr. Metzger. What do you think about gays?
Well, gays, I think, have been, of course, in the closet for a long, long time. I think that they're always been around. I don't get that excited about them. I don't have any desire to practice their odd lifestyle. But I'm not looking for gays under every bed. When they start giving me a hard time and say they want to take over things and they want to promote anti-heterosexual programs and will not take any kind of blame for the problems they've caused with AIDS, well, then we have a problem. But if a person is homosexual and they haven't tried to grab me and throw me in bed, I don't really worry too much about them. Jews come in all ways, and some of them come as religion, some come as a race, some are actually genetically and biologically assimilated European types who may still carry on Judaism as a religion. Judaism is a very mixed up bag.
But many Jews are white Europeans, aren't they?
Well, if they are, then they should shed Judaism and join us instead of pretending to be Semites. If they have biologically assimilated to the point which many of them are, but retain this Semitic religions, then they need to abandon that and continue their assimilation.
So you don't dislike Jews?
Well, there's a lot of Jews that dislike me, and if they give me trouble, I dislike them. But if a person comes up to me screaming he's a Jew and like that, we have a problem.
You don't have any Jewish blood, do you?
Well, not that I know of. Okay. Like George Lincoln Rockwell once said, if you could prove I did, you could put me out of business real fast.
Described as the granddaddy of all hate TV shows, the TV show hosts on the telephone here on the Pat Murphy Show, KTAR 620 AM News Talk Radio. We're going to pause right now. We're going to ask Ralph and Jeanette and Pat and the others who are on the line to please stand by. We'll be right back.
Even before it opens, Paul
show here on KTAR 620 AM, and we're with Tom Metzger by telephone from California. And let's go to the telephones right now. Jeanette, thank you very much for joining us here on KTAR. Welcome, and you're on with Tom Metzger. Go right ahead.
Thank you very much. Mr. Metzger, I'm also a public access producer, so I'm familiar with what you have to go through. Specifically, I want to express to you that I respect your right to have bigoted opinions and to want to separate yourself and your property from people whom you don't like. But specifically, I want to know, what laws would you change?
I think the first thing that would be done is to get the government and the various pressure groups out of the social experimental business, because this is not an accident that race, so-called race mixing and integration, has been pushed for maybe 40 years or before. It's a plan, and there are people that will not leave people just independently make their choice, which I believe we wouldn't be in the shape we're in today if people would have been totally free to make their independent choice. But people are coerced through laws, through economic laws, through taxes, and all kinds of things, and their educational systems are turned into mind control centers to promote not only race mixing, but even homosexuality and things like this. This is not an accident, and this is not allowing people to be free. This is brainwashing.
Wait a minute. Let me jump in here just a moment, Jeanette, and interrupt your line of questioning. Are you saying that when you say brainwashing and mind control, are you saying that there is some kind of sinister government operation that in effect leaves people helpless to make a decision about who they marry?
I think it goes beyond the government. It goes to the sinister economic forces that control the government, and I do believe that there are mass. Pardon me. Well, I would say it would probably be the people that benefit the most by keeping a docile, so-called calm workforce, and they feel that if there is racial antagonisms or cultural differences or religious differences, it interrupts trade. They think. Well, I would start with the transnational corporations. There's 12 of them that really are running things pretty much around the world. Then we have the Fortune 500. You can look at these people and find that they're in the manipulative process. And then you find the churches. Now, that's a $400 billion business, too.
Now, you just about named everybody. I don't consider myself a docile person, and I work around a group of people here who are certainly not docile. What do you mean by docile? You mean mindless, witless people?
I believe they're snivelized. I call them snivelized. They, well, because if you were to say something yourself on the radio station that was a little too far out of bounds, you'd lose your job very quickly. Well, if you got too heavy on the Jewish question, if you started really getting heavy on Israel.
To give an example, 2 weeks ago we had a story, devoted an entire hour talking about the allegations against the Anti-Defamation League spying on people in California.
That's great.
And I wasn't fired.
Well, I'm saying if... No, it's not, because I've known many people who have been fired because they continued to bring these things into the light about in this situation, Israel, the Jews, the ADL, and so forth. Many congressmen have lost their jobs, and other people because the pressure group, the money that was put in.
You're talking about an election with a congressman.
Well, I'm talking about how you manipulate elections. Do you not believe elections can be manipulated?
Well, actually, everything that happens that you disagree with seems to be a part of a conspiracy.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it is. I think that whenever two or more people get together for a reason to con another person, that's a conspiracy.
Well,
so,
are you part of the conspiracy?
I'm a conspiracy to rescue my race and save North America. And
there are good conspiracies and bad conspiracies.
Perhaps so. And I'm sure that the people who are conspiring against the whites of this nation feel that for some reason they're doing it for a good reason, and that's to live like kings and queens while we are in the fields picking the cotton.
Okay, it sounds, what he said there implies to me that what he wants to repeal is the laws that force you to contribute, force you to associate with people that you would prefer not to, and in that case I agree with him, because I think a person has the right to do with their own body and their own property what they please. But on the other hand, you said some things that imply to me that he wants laws against things such as interracial marriage, and he wants to zone so that the blacks live here and the whites can live there. Do you want the government to enforce your bigotry at all?
What I would like the government to do is get out of my hair and allow people to gravitate to whatever geographical area they want to go to.